We begin the current daf, Masechtas Makos, daf Tezva. Begin on the bottom of Yudalma Beis, second line up from the bottom of the Yamad, where the Gemara continues with a discussion from what we were discussing, daf Yud Gimel Beis. Amar Rabba Babachana, Amar Rabbi Yechna. And what he's coming to tell us is that even though, and we mentioned this in the Brisa on the Avdalama Beis, even according to the one who says that Alav Hanitik Lase Ein Loikin Alav, which is generally when the person violates a negative prohibition, so there's lashes. But there was an opinion that said, but if there's a positive commandment that then rectifies the violation, for example, it says, Lois Sisira, don't leave over from the meat of the carbon. Then the Torah says, but if you left it over, then Be'esh Tisrei, but then you burn it in the fire. So there's an opinion that says that the Torah is coming to tell you a positive commandment, which then is the positive commandment only applies when you violate the negative prohibition, to tell you that you're not going to get lashes. Rather, because the Torah is coming to tell you that the positive commandment takes the place of the punishment of the negative prohibition and its rectification. So on that, Rabbi Yechon is coming to tell that that only applies in a situation when you have the negative prohibition. If you do that, then you could do the positive commandment and then you'll exempt yourself. So says Rabbi Yechanan, that's only when the positive commandment comes after the negative prohibition. In other words, that you cannot have fulfilled that positive commandment only after you violate the negative prohibition. For example, the Heshav Es Exhale, return the theft. You can't do the positive commandment until you first steal. So that's where, says Rabbi Yechanan, that the Torah is telling you, according to that opinion, that Allah Hanitik Lasei, the Torah says you violate negative prohibition, you should get lashes, but there's a positive commandment that will rectify that. That's when that will exempt you from the lashes. But says Rabbi Yechanan, Kol lo isa asei, anyway we have a negative prohibition, shekod moy asei, where the positive commandment is there before the negative prohibition. In other words, you could fulfill the positive commandment even before the person violates a negative prohibition. That's not considered that the positive commandment is being menatic, is uprooting and is rectifying the negative prohibition. Because even if you're going to fulfill it after the violation of the negative prohibition, but that's not what the Torah is giving it for, because you could do it even before the negative prohibition. So therefore, that's not going to exempt you from the negative from the lashes. So says Rabbi Yechanan, like and love, such a positive commandment, even if that's fulfilled, the person will still get lashes for violating the negative prohibition. Now, that the Gemara continues the top of Tezvav Med Aleph. Amru Loi, so others who heard this teaching in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, but they didn't hear it directly from him, when they later met Rabbi Yechanan, they said to him, Amrit, did you really say this teaching? Amalahu, he said to them, Loi, I didn't say this teaching, meaning he retracted. Amr Rabba, so Rabba commented, he says, Hulikim, which is by God, meaning it's a name of an oath, Amr, Rabbi Yechanan did say this teaching. Uchsiva, and we find that the Torah has written regarding such a case where you have a negative prohibition that the positive commandment is there already beforehand. Usanina, and we learned in Mishnaic the literature on it, like Rabbi Yechanan's original positioning, that the person would get lashes because it will not be enough by fulfilling the positive commandment after that violation. As Rabbi explains, he says, Kesiva, we find it written in the Pasuk of Bamidbar that says, Vayishalchu min ha'machne b'gomer, that all those that are tzeruah, that have tzeras, that have tumah, they have to be sent out from the camp, which is a positive commandment. Then it says, V'lo yitamos machaneim, they should not defile, make impure their camp, which is the loisa say. Now, of course, if you violate the negative prohibition, then you could go ahead and do the positive commandment and go out. But that positive commandment can be fulfilled even without violating negative prohibition, which is go out. So we have a case where that's the asay is there before the loisa say. And Tanina, we learned on this, which is from the opening Mishnah on Elohim Aloikin, these and Dafyud Gimel Med Aleph said, and these are those who get lashes, and one of those who get lashes were counted. Habola Migdash Tomei, if someone comes to the base of Migdash, that's Tomei. We said in the Mishnah, he gets lashes. Now, so therefore you see a case that although it's a lav that has an asay, still we see clearly from our Mishnah that there's going to be lashes, because you could do the positive commandment of leaving even before you violate the negative prohibition. So says Rabbi, Lamai Tamei Kahadebe. So then why did Rabbi Yechanan retract? If we find Mishnaic support for his opinion that Lav Shekadme Lalav, meaning that the positive commandment could be done before the Lav, that you get lashes, so why did he retract and he said, no, I didn't say that, and that a person will not get lashes? Is it Mishnah Dekashile Oinus? Because he had a difficulty with that teaching from the halachas of someone who rapes a Naira Besula, a girl that's a Naira, that's a virgin, where there's a halacha that says, that's a case of a loisa se shekad me'aseh, where the positive commandment could be done even before the violation of the negative prohibition, because the Torah says in Devarim Chabez, the loisi leisha, that the woman that he violates, he has to go ahead and marry. And it says, leyuchel l'shalcha, he can't send her away, she has to stay married to him. Now, regarding that halacha, the Tanya, we learned in the Brayis on it, that he should go ahead and fulfill the positive commandment. If, let's say, einish agirish, a man who raped a girl, the halacha is he has to be married to her. But he goes and he divorces her. So that's in violation of law. He has to stay married to her. So says the Braisa, im Yisrael, who, if he's a non-Kohen, where? He could fulfill the positive commandment of staying married to her, even though he divorced her and remarried her, because a non-Kohen is allowed to remarry the woman that he divorced if she didn't marry anyone in the interim. So says the Braisa, if he's a Yisrael, machzer ben aleika. So he takes her back, he remarries her, and he doesn't get lashes for the violation of sending her away. But says the Braisa, im Kain, who, if he's a Kain who's forbidden to remarry the divorcee, so he can't marry even the woman that he divorced, so he can't remarry her. So he gets lashes for violating the negative prohibition of Leyuchel L'Shalchel Kol Yomav, because he did send her away, and he obviously can't take her back because she's a Gerusha. Now that, the question is, it says in the Braisa, im Yisrael hu machzer v'ein alayka. It says that if he's a non-Kain, then he takes her back and he doesn't get lashes. So we see that we have, even though the positive commandment can be fulfilled before the negative, meaning stay married to her, marry her, that's the positive commandment, that can be done even without violating the negative prohibition. And yet still we see from the Braisa that's considered a lav shenit deglase, and that the person's not going to get lashes, because we see that remarrying her is menatik. It's uprooting, it's fixing the violation of sending her away. And that the question is, amai, why if he's Yisrael do we say he's machzer ve'ein aloike, doesn't get lashes, but if you hold it could be yichanon, but loisase shekod ma'asehu, this is a negative prohibition, that the positive commandment can be done beforehand, velilki, according to Yichanon, you should get lashes. How did the Braisa say that take her back and you won't get lashes? So therefore, it says Rabbah, although our Mishnah supports Rabbi Yichanon, but he was bothered by the question of this Braisa, and therefore he says, no, I didn't say this teaching. However, Amma Ula, Ula answers the question from Einus, and he says, this halacha by Einus is a lav shenitik la'asei. It is a negative prohibition that's rectified by the positive commandment. Because if you wouldn't think that this positive commandment of being married to her is there specifically to be menatik the lav, to fix the lav, then actually the Torah wouldn't have to write it. Because if you would think that it's just to tell you the primary halacha to go ahead and marry the woman that he raped. And that says, Ula, lo yoyma, the Torah shouldn't have to say in Devarim, loy si li isha ba'aynis. In regards to halachas of aynis, the Torah shouldn't have to tell you that he has to marry her. Because v'ligma me'meitzi shemra, we can learn enough from the halachas of the meitzi shemra. The meitzi shemra is the one who got married, and he got married under the assumption that she's a basula. The next one, he comes to court, he says, she's not a basula. There was no virginity over there. And it turns out that he was lying. He was spreading false rumors about his new wife. Now, there the Torah says, also, it says over there, v'loisi le'isha, that she should be for him as a wife. Le'yuchel l'shalcha, now he's penalized by the Torah because he made these bad rumors about his wife. He's never allowed to send it away. Now, says Ula, if you would think that this halacha of marrying her, which it says, v'loisi le'isha, by Einus, is to go ahead and marry her, that wouldn't be necessary, because we would know it from the halachas of Meitzi Shemra. Because a man Meitzi Shemra, if we find by the man who spreads a bad rumor about his new wife, Shalei Asa Maisa, he didn't do any action, he just said something. That's not considered a significant action. He didn't rape a woman, he just said something about his wife. And still, Rachman the Torah says in Devarim Baloisi Leisha, that still he gets penalized, he has to always stay married to this woman. So Einus LeKalshkin, isn't it a Kal V'Chomer all the more so than when a man rapes a woman, does something horrific to the woman, that of course he has to have this penalty of Aloisi Leisha? So Lema Nema, so why does it say over there? That's what Ula says. If it's not teaching us anything from the beginning, meaning when before he divorces her, meaning to say that there's a mitzvah to marry her, because that I don't need you, because that I would know it from the Halacha Meitzi Shemra, that of course the Einus has to marry the woman that he violates. So it's obvious when the Torah says of Leisi Leisha by Einus is coming to teach you afterwards, meaning after he divorces her, to say that if he divorces her, that he should take her back, meaning That's what Loisi Elish is coming to tell you, that it's exempting you from the negative prohibition, meaning it's only coming after the divorce. When someone violates the negative prohibition of sending away, it's explicitly that's what Loisi Elish is coming to tell you, that, then that's the Mahashabbas Gzela, that's like by the Naisa that then you burn it, saying, go ahead and remarry her, because in the beginning, of course we know, from Maitri Shemra. Must be, says Ula, that's the explanation. Therefore, it's not a difficulty for Rabbi Yechina from the Halach of Aynes, because there it's not a Lav Shekod Me Asay. That Asay that's in the beginning, that I know from Maitri Shemra. This is a Lav Hanitik Asay, and that's what the Pasuk is going to teach you, and that's why you don't get Malkis by Yisrael, who he's Chayzer Ve'in Aleika. Now, however, the Gemara asks on this, but Va'akati, you still need to write the halacha of Veloisi Le'isha in regards to its initial obligation of the einus of the rapist to marry the woman that he violated. Because if it was not written, says the Gemara, what we just said from Ula is not correct. Einus mimetei shema lo gomer. You cannot learn out the obligation of marrying this woman that he did something bad to from the mitzvah shema. Because the Ikla Mifuch, you could ask from that Kabbal Chaymer, Ma'ala Maitzi Shemra, what we find by a Maitzi Shemra, it's logical to say that there is a penalty that he has to be married to her, because we find that there's a stringency with Maitzi Shemra, Shekin Leike Mishalem. We find that in the beginning already, then he gets lashes, and he has to pay a monetary obligation, which is generally not the case, because like the Pasuk says, they afflict him and they punish him, which the Gemara says in Subis, that the Yisru is Malkus and the Anshu is the monetary payment. So maybe over there, Mitzvah Shemah, that we see that we're very stringent with him, maybe there's the penalty that we do that he has to be married to her. But who said the same would apply to Aynes, which doesn't have two penalties, maybe that he wouldn't have to marry her. Therefore, that's what Leisi Leisha is saying, that regarding the initial essay. So we're back to the question, how do we know that it's a law of Hanitik Laseh? Ella rather, says the Gemara, a different approach. So let's go the other way then. Then it shouldn't have to say that the man who spreads a false rumor about his wife, that he has to be married to her. Because of a ligma ma'inus. We could learn that from ma'inus. Because a ma'inus, if we find by ainus, by a man who rapes a woman, she'ena loike, where he doesn't get lashes initially, umisham and to pay, he only pays a monetary payment. Still, Amrachman of Leisi Elisha, still the Torah stringent with him and tells him that he has to marry this woman. So, Maitzi Shemra LeKoshkin? So, Maitzi Shemra, which has like Umisham, two penalties, isn't it all the more so for sure when he does this bad thing to this woman that he has to go ahead and marry her? So, why is it say by Maitzi Shemra Leisi Elisha? That, Imeina Inya, that's one of the Talmudic principles that we learn up the way we expound the laws of the Torah, which is Imeina Inya. If it's not necessary, that halacha, of Veloisi Elisha L'maitzei Shemra, because you know that from Aynes, so Tineu in L'Aynes, so we actually could use that extra pasuk of Veloisi Elisha by Maitzei Shemra, and use it for the Lachas of Aynes. Now, there's one more Imeina Inyan. Imeina Inyan L'Fanav, and if there's nothing for it to teach us regarding in the beginning, that the Aynes has to marry the woman initially, of Veloisi Elisha, because it says Veloisi Elisha by Aynes too, so Tineu in L'Achav, that extra Veloisi Elisha is coming to teach you that it's coming to teach you after he sends her away, he's megarish, and he violates the negative prohibition of L'Yush L'Shachal Koyamav, that then it's coming to be menatik laseh by saying, Veloisi Elisha. And therefore, that would be the approach to resolve for Rabbi Yechanan, why by the Einus of Yisrael, that is Yavzeb in the Leiko, because there's another Veloisi Elisha to tell you that it's nitik laseh. But the Gemara still asks, but yeah, you can't even do that either. You can't learn. You can't say that you would know Maitzi Shemra from Einus to say that it's extra by Maitzi Shemra and then to put it to Einus, and then in the Einus in the beginning you don't need it to put it in afterwards. The whole thing doesn't start. Because the Ikla Mifuch, you could ask on that Kavach Haimim, because Ma'alo Einus, you could say that no, maybe only by Einus, where it's stringent, and therefore over there it says there's an obligation of Leisi Le'isha Mofanav to go ahead and marry her, and I wouldn't know that the same thing would apply to Maitzah Shemra, and therefore it is necessary to say the Pasuk Maitzah Shemra, Shekin Asa Maisa, by Einus is more stringent, you could say, because he did an actual action, he violated a woman, he raped her. There you say that he has obligation to stay married to her. But Maitzah Shemra, all he said was words. Who either said that there's an obligation? Therefore, it would be necessary to say over there, Veloisi Elisha. And so it's not extra to use for Aynes to teach us this halacha of Nitik Lasei. Elirav, the Gemara gives a different approach. Lo yoyme loisi Elisha, but Maitzah Shemra. A different reason why it should not be necessary to say loisi Elisha, but Maitzah Shemra, is because, what are you saying? That for him, she should be a wife? Shehari Ishtahi. The halacha of Mitzvah Shemah is when he married the woman, the next morning after the first night, he gets up and he says a rumor about her. He already was Mekadosh and married her. So Lama Nema, what does it say that he should go and be a wife? She already is a wife. So therefore we could say in the Mitzvah Shemah, if it's not teaching us anything regarding Mitzvah Shemah, today in La Oinis, we could use it for the halacha of Oinis. And as we said before, in La Fun, if it's not teaching anything before, and because it says Laisi Elisha by Oinis itself, today in La Achav, it's coming to teach you that after he violates the Laisi of sending away, it's being Menatik La'asei in Laisi Elisha. The Gemara still asks, but Ve'emer, you could say, V'im'ena inin La Fun of the Mitzvah Shemah. What do you mean? You could say the halacha is for the Parsha Mitzvah Shemah itself, where it says Velaisi Leisha. Now we said Velaisi Leisha doesn't make sense because he's already married her. So we thought to say, okay, so it's extra to use for Einus. And then the Gemara asks, no. Say, if you don't need it for Mitzvah Shemah in the beginning, because he's already married her anyway, Tineyu Inyan La'achar of the day, use it for the Mitzvah Shemah himself after he violates the negative prohibition of divorcing this wife, that it's coming to say that it's Nitik La'asei, and that even when he violates, that then he could go ahead and remarry her. The loy lucky to say that there's no lashes by Mitzvah Shemah. So the Gemara says, in the Chanami, yes, you're right. That is the halacha. That is what Velaisi Elisha is coming to teach regarding Mitzvah Shemah, that if he divorces her, then he should go ahead and remarry her. But V'asi Einis V'gamah Minei. But and the halacha of Einis, then we learn out and we say, just like with Mitzvah Shemah, where there's no lashes, if he divorces her, if he's going to remarry her, so too by Einis, where there's not going to be lashes, if he's going to go ahead and remarry her, because that's menatik la'aseh. And we know that from the halachas of Mitzvah Shemah. So the Gemara asks again, what do you mean? But my gomene, with what are you going to be learning out the halachas of Einis from Mitzvah Shemah? Because, yeah, Mitzvah Shemah, the Velaisi Elisha is extra, so you could say it's la'achrav to be menatik la'aseh. But how could you learn out Einis, which doesn't, it's not extra the first one, so it's teaching initial, and you, how do you know the later one, which is menatik la'aseh from Mitzvah Shemah? But if you're going to learn that from a Kavachema and say, oh, just like by Mitzvah Shemah, where it's very stringent, like we said before, because by Mitzvah Shemah, initially, there's two punishments he right away gets. He's loike mishalim, he gets lashes and he pays monetary payment, which is very stringent. And even so, he doesn't get lashes when he divorces her, so einus, which is not even so stringent, for sure that it's not going to get lashes if it violates the negative prohibition of sending away because he could remarry her. Or let's say, Ibamamatino. So either you're going to know it, let's say, as we're saying from a Kavachimer, for sure. Or Bamamatino, which you say, oh, just like we find over there, which is similar to Sotu over here. And that the Gemara is by Ikele Mifach Kedabrachina. But then you could ask, like we asked before, and say, no. Ma'ala Mitzvah Shemah, how could you learn that from Mitzvah Shemah? I could tell you that it's actually more lenient. And therefore, since it's more lenient, Isser, so, okay, we're not so stringent. Therefore, if he divorces her, so then we'll say that it's Menutik La'aseh and that he's not going to get the lashes. But who said you could say the same thing for Einis? Because Mitzvah Shemah is more lenient. Shekin loy osa maisa. Mitzvah Shemah, he didn't do any action. So there we say that, okay, so you can rectify by doing a positive commandment. But by Einis, where he does an action, who said that there it's menutik la'aseh and that he doesn't get lashes? So El Omar Rabbi, rather Rabbi gives a different approach, not like the approach of Ula that we were trying in different variations up until now. He says this that we learned in the Braisa regarding the Einis, that if he's Yisrael, he remarries her and he doesn't get lashes. The reason is you have to say that, yes, as we want to answer for Rabbi Yochanan, because it's a law of hanitik la'aseh. It's a negative prohibition that the essay is coming to uproot that. Why? Because the Pasuk says, when it talks about that he's not allowed to send her away, it says he's not allowed to send her away kol yom of all his days. Now, it should not have written that. It should have just written, lo yuchel l'shach, he can't send her away. I know that means, if it doesn't explain, for as long as he's alive. What does it mean when it says kol yamav? So that says, Rabbi, that's what the Pasuk is saying, that this prohibition of not sending her away will apply all his days. How's that possible? What do you mean? If he sends her away, he already sent her away. Because it's telling you to remarry her. So obviously, kol yamav ba'omid v'hachazer, says Rabbi. Obviously that all his days, there's a constant obligation to remarry her. And that's what the Pasuk is saying. V'loi si'elish, when it's saying that, and to him she should be a woman, if he sends her away, meaning because her sending away should not be for all the days of his life. What do you mean, all the days? Once you do it, it's already done. No, because the essay is coming to say that after you violated the negative prohibition of sending away, Don't let it be all your days. How? V'loisi Elisha, go ahead and remarry her. So you see clearly from the context of the pasuk, from the extra words kol yamav, it's coming to tell you that although it's written before, the negative prohibition is coming to be menatik, that the lav, by saying the positive commandment, is uprooting the violation of the negative prohibition, and that's why there's no lashes in the case of Yisrael. And says the Gemara, v'chein ki aser rav, and am Reb Yechanan, that's who we're coming to explain the Braisa for, to explain his original positioning, why it's not a contradiction on his original halacha, which actually supported from the halacha of our mission of Yud Gimel, kol yamav ba'amad v'hachazer. The reason why ba'ignis, it's not considered a lav shekod me'aseh, that you should get lashes, and rather the Yisrael, who violated and divorced the woman that he raped, that he doesn't get lashes, is kol yamav ba'amad v'hachazer, all the days, there is a nitik la'aseh of remarrying her, of being b'loisi le'isha. However, the Gemara asks, "Amalir apabala rava," but vaha this that Rabbi Yechanan said that when you have a loisa say shekod me asay, that you get lashes, but loy dami lavi lelav dechasima, the halacha of the of negative prohibitions getting lashes is learnt out because the parasha right near the parasha of Malchus is the parasha of the lav of chasima. Right there in the Torah, it says the prohibition of muzzling an animal when it's doing its work. So from there, from that smichas aparishas, we learn out that to get lashes has to be similar to the negative prohibition of muzzling an animal. Now the problem is that the negative prohibition of muzzling doesn't have any positive commandment associated with it. So how could you say, and that's actually similar, as we'll see shortly, the reason for lavanitik lasay is different. That's why there's no lashes over there. So even over there here, that the positive commandment can be done without the negative prohibition, but ultimately related to this negative prohibition, there's a positive commandment associated with. So it's not similar to the negative prohibition of muzzling. So therefore, that won't enter the category of getting lashes. How could Rabbi Yechanan say over there that there's going to be lashes? So Malisa Rava responded to Rapapa. He says, what? Mishum de kasa be'rachmana asay yiseir, because the Torah says, regarding this negative prohibition, it adds on also a positive commandment. Migregara, that makes it any worse, that it's not going to get lashes? What do you mean? It is similar to muzzling. Muzzling is a negative prohibition. Here too is a negative prohibition. The fact that additionally there's a positive commandment associated with it, that should make it less and not get lashes? Because you're violating more, then you don't get lashes? So on that, Rav Papa asks, what do you mean? If that's your logic, then lav shenitik la'asei nami, then you should say the same thing regarding a negative prohibition, that there's a rectification of a positive commandment associated with it. Lema, you should say, what? Mishum de kasa be'rachmana asei yaseir migregar, because the Torah gives an additional positive commandment, so it's worse, and that it's going to be lower down, and it's not going to get lashes? What do you mean? We know lav shenitik la'asei doesn't get lashes, but why? According to your logic, there also, of course, they should get lashes. Amaleya, that Rav said to him, no. Ahu, over there, that positive commandment could only be fulfilled only after the person violates the negative prohibition. That's lintuki lavhu da'asa. There the Torah is coming explicitly to have the negative prohibition uprooted from the punishment of Malchus. That's why the Torah is giving it to you, because that positive commandment is only possible if you violate the negative commandment. In conscious distinction to the case of Rabbi Yechanan, where the positive commandment could be fulfilled even, it's not exclusive to the negative prohibition, it can be done even before the violation of that negative prohibition, that doesn't make the lav any less. It's not associated directly with the lav, and therefore, yes, there Rabbi Yechanan says that it's similar to the lav of chasima, and you're going to get lashes just like any violation of any negative prohibition. Now, however, the Gemara asks, on regarding the concept that we said before, where Rava had answered, and it was brought from Rabbi Yechanan, this answer, that by Einis, that the reason why it's considered a lava nitik lase is because all the days of the Einis, he has a constant obligation to be amit vahachzer, to go ahead and take the woman back that he had raped, and he had married, and he had divorced, to go take her back. So therefore, we said that that makes it into a lava nitik lase, and that expands the time frame of fulfilling the positive commandment, as the pasuk says, kol yamav, all the days, there's a positive commandment of fulfilling of loisi le'isha. That, as the Gemara, according to what you're saying, so this that the Braisa says, machzer ve'ena loike, so the one who divorced the woman that he raped, so it says, okay, take her back and don't get lashes. So according to your interpretation, that's forever. Meaning as long as he could say, yeah, I'm going to take her back, so the court can't give him lashes, because I could be menetik at lase. On that, as the Gemara, this works well according to the one who says, as we'll see shortly, he was brought in the Braisa, regarding a lava nitik lase, Anytime you have a negative prohibition that can be rectified, that can be uprooted by ameliorating that, by fulfilling a positive commandment associated with it, that they explain the words, as we'll see on Amud Beis, bitlui v'loy bitlui, that it depends on if one voids the positive commandment or doesn't void it. Meaning, if he's mevatel the essay, if he makes it impossible to fulfill the positive commandment, then he's liable for the negative prohibition. But if he doesn't void the positive commandment, he's going to be exempt. Why? Because the negative prohibition is contingent on nullifying the ability to do the positive commandment. And it's not concluded, the violation, until he actively violates the positive commandment by ripping it out without being able to fulfill the positive commandment anymore. Then he's going to get the violation for the negative prohibition. Because you could say, as long as he's alive, as long as there's a possibility, he could rectify it by going ahead and doing the positive commandment. Because as long as he's not mevatel da'aseh, let's say in the case of here, the oinus, as long as he's alive, okay, you can remarry her. You can't give me lashes for violating the violation of divorcing her, unless, as the Gemara explained later on, if he takes a neder that he's not going to have, that there's not going to be any benefit between the two of them, a type of neder that cannot be nullified, then you can't go ahead and remarry her. Then you're going to go ahead and get the lashes for having divorced her. But as long as that wasn't done, so then okay, you can fill it as long as you want. So that would make sense according to the interpretation of the Braisa, so, because that's contingent on voiding the ability of ever fulfilling the positive commandment. But Ella, but ask the Gemara, Lamando, Amakaim of Eloi Kaim, according to the one who says, in explanation of the words of the Braisa, which have to be amended, as we'll see in the base, that if one fulfills the positive commandment, then he's exempt. If he doesn't fulfill it, then he's liable. Meaning, because the positive commandment is not the conclusion of the violation of the negative prohibition. It's the violation of prohibition is right away, and he gets, he should deserve lashes right away. It's just that if someone does the positive commandment, he could be metaking the negative prohibition. But the negative prohibition is not contingent on voiding the positive commandment, because the moment he violates the negative prohibition, that's the end, that's done. But the assay could uproot the obligation of getting the lashes. So therefore, according to that interpretation, the guy who violates negative prohibition comes to court, and they say, look, either do the assay now and be exempt, or get lashes. According to that interpretation, you cannot say kol yomav ba'omed v'hachzer kai, like you said. You can't say that, okay, all the days of the Mianis, if he divorced his wife, there's a constant obligation as long as he lived that there's a nitig laseh of remarrying her, because if he doesn't remarry her right away when he comes to court for having violated divorcing her, they're going to give him lashes right then. Because you can't say, oh, I'll fulfill that at a later point in time. Because if so, how would you explain, according to this Manda Amar, that loy kaim, if he doesn't fulfill it, where, what do you mean? He could say, all my life I'll fulfill it. Obviously, they hold that, no, the obligation is right now you get lashes. If you fulfill it, they'll say, okay, we'll take away the lashes. You don't fulfill it, then you get lashes. Obviously, that mandama held that it's immediate, in contrast to the other mandama who explains bitloy v'loy bitloy, is that, no, you're never really obligated, you never really have the liability of lashes until, because the assay is there, until there's no option of the assay. That's the mandama bitloy v'loy bitloy. According to him, you could say, okay, all his life he has the opportunity of amid v'achzer kai. But according to mandama kama v'loy kama ma'ikal, remember, what are you going to say? So that the Gemara continues on the base and says, you're right. Midihu taima, is this, what are we looking for over here? Why is it that we explain the halacha, the braisa, as we answered, kol yamid ba'amid b'hachzer? We explained that ba'inis, the reason why it's chayzev ein alayka, that it's considered lav v'netzi la'aseh, because it's all his days that he has the obligation of remarry her, and that's for years and years. He can't get lashes because he never was mevatel da'aseh yet, because there's still the obligation. That was only said el Rabbi Yechanan. That we were only saying this whole Torah for Rabbi Yechanan, who he said that when you have lois seshakod me'asei, he said that when you have a negative prohibition associated with positive commandment, but you could do the positive commandment before the negative prohibition, that he says then you do get lashes. So he had asked on him from the Braisa, what's with the case of a oinus that was megarish, where there the Braisa says not going to get malkis, but that's a case of lav shakod me'asei. So we had to explain the Braisa to make it into a case of a lav v'netzi la'aseh. And that says the Gemara, Ha'amar le Rabbi Yechon l'tana, Rabbi Yechon said to the one who taught braises in front of him, which we're going to quote this braises shortly, Tanei, read the braises, bit lui chayev. If you void the essay, then you're liable for the lashes. V'loi bit lui pater. But if you don't void it, then you're going to be exempt. So yeah, you're right. That explanation of Amid v'hachzor koi, which is that you have that ability to be exempt from the lashes for years and years because you have the assay there that says, okay, you can't get lashes because you're supposed to fill the assay. That was for Rabbi Yochanan, who he holds that, as we'll shortly explain, the Brice said that it's bitloy v'loy bitloy, not kima v'loy kima. Because in contrast, as we'll see later, Rish Lakish, who he learns the words of the Brice, kaima v'loy kaima. So he obviously does not expound the Brice's halacha of omed v'hachzarkai, because that would only be that you could fulfill it as long as for the rest of your life, that there's obligation of the assay. According to him, it's not true. According to him, that wouldn't be a reason to be exempt from lashes. You have to get lashes right away if you don't do it. You could ameliorate it right away, but if not, you get lashes. Rather, he obviously explains the halacha, the braisa, that the assay is even before gerushin, to say that, yeah, all his days, tiyale leisha, he has to stay married to her and he shouldn't send her away. So actually, according to Rish Lakish, you would have to say that a lav shekod me'asei, which is like the case of Yisrael that's ma'anis, who the negative prohibition, the positive commandment is there beforehand, or a regular lav shenitig la'asei, that they're both the same, that there's no lashes, but rather, I mean, not like Rabbi Yechon, who says the lav shekod me'asei is loikin, he holds no ain loikin, but he actually says it's the same as a regular not lav shenitig la'asei, rather you have to fulfill the positive commandment right away when they warn him to say, look, we're going to give you lashes, or you do this, but you don't have an opportunity later on. It's only Rabbi Yochanan that holds that when you have lav shekod me'asei that you get lashes. So how does he explain the case of Einis? That's because he says, yeah, that's for all his life. It is netig la'asei all his life, because again, that's he calls the old bitle bitle bitle, which is contingent on the nullification of the asei. Kondra Rish Lakish says, no, you have the obligation right away for lashes. You could ameliorate, you could take care of it with the kiyum asei, but that's right away, and therefore that would be no different, he holds, between lav shenitig la'asei or lav shekod me'asei. As the Gemara explains, the Tanit Tana Kamid Rabbi Yechanan was a teacher of Brises, a Torah from Rabbi Yechanan, the following Brisa. He said, "Kol mitzvahs loisa seishtiyash b'kumase." Any negative prohibition that has a positive commandment to be menatik, that to get up and do that, so kiyam asei sheba pater. If you fulfill the positive commandment, that will exempt you from the lashes. Bitla asei sheba, but if you nullify the positive commandment, you say, you make it that you're never going to be able to do it ever again, like we'll explain later on, by making a nedu, let's say, in the case of this woman that he was ma'anis, then chayv going to be liable. To which Amalei Rabbi Yechanan said to him, "My comrade, what are you saying? Your terminologies don't match. Kiyim patu lo kiyim chayv." In other words, if you're saying that, as you said, regarding if the person fulfills the positive commandment, then he's going to be exempt, then you have to match that by saying, if he doesn't fulfill it, even if he doesn't void it yet, then he's going to be chayv. Or say, bitl chayv, if he nullifies the ability to do the assay, then he's going to be liable. Loi bitl pater, but if he doesn't nullify it, then he's going to be exempt. Because obviously, you have to match that by saying, only if you're mevatl, then you're chayv. But if you weren't mevatl, even though you weren't mekayim the assay yet, you're going to be pater. So there, but don't, you can't say both, because those are contradictory inferences regarding if someone wasn't mevatlet but wasn't mekayimid yet, what would the halacha be? So rather, Tanei, Rabbi Yechon tells him that you should read it, and this is what we were referring to before. Rabbi Yechon holds an explanation of the Braisa, bitloy vidloy bitloy. Meaning, if the person voids the ability to do the positive commandment, okay, it's not minutuk lasei anymore, then he'll be liable for lashes. If he wasn't mevatlet, even though he didn't fulfill it yet, even for 10 years, he never remarried her, Rabbi Yechon holds he's going to be exempt. That was how we explained the Braisa in the case of Kol Yoma V'om V'Hachsa B'Kai. That was, as we said, according to Rabbi Yechon. In contrast, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakasham, he says, no, read the Braisa, Kaimai V'loi Kaimai. If the person fulfilled the positive commandment, then he's going to be exempt. But if he doesn't fulfill it right away when they tell him, hey, you divorced this woman, go remarry her, he doesn't do it right then, even though he didn't void the ability, he's going to get lashes right then and there. Now, Rabbi Yechanan would obviously have to explain the Braisa, who says that it's the assay would exempt you from the lashes. Obviously, in the case of lav hanitik lasei, because as we explained before, if it would be a lav shekud me'asei, then he would hold that you get lashes. In contrast, Rish Lakish would be explaining the Braisa, whether it's a lav hanitik lasei or even if the assay was before, he holds that both the same, and the halacha the Braisa would apply to either way, that assay would exempt him from lashes. Now the Gemara asked, once we introduced this machlokes Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish, so b'may kemefligi, so regarding what concept are they disagreeing? So the Gemara Basra Safka Miflagi, their machlekes is contingent on if they're warning someone regarding a violation, that's in doubt. They don't know, there's no definitive understanding if he's going to be violating this prohibition right now. Mar, Rabbi Yechanan Sava, he holds Hasra Safik Shema Hasra. Giving a doubtful Hasra is considered e'hasra, because every punishment, including lashes, has to have asra. Now, so although that anytime there's a lois asay, then it's nitik lasay. When someone violates a negative prohibition, they can be ameliorated by doing a positive commandment. According to Rabbi Yechanan, even though it's a hasra safik, it's a doubtful hasra, why? Why, according to Rabbi Yechanan, it's every time hasra safik? Because according to him, when you violate the negative prohibition, you have to warn the person. But Rabbi Yechanan says that the conclusion of the negative prohibition is only contingent, and it's only concluded when he voids and violates the positive commandment. Because until you mevatel dasay, he says the punishment of lashes wasn't concluded yet. So when they warn him, let's say regarding this woman that is ma'anis, don't divorce her. So it's a doubt. Because even if he divorces her and he's about to do it and they see and they warn him a second before and he does it, but maybe he's not going to mevatel dasay to make a neder, voiding, making it forbidden for him to have anah from her. It's when he does make the neder and he is mevatel dasay, that's when Rabbi Yechanan says he's going to get lashes. So obviously you see, according to Rabbi Yechanan, hasra safik, a doubtful hasra, because even though the action he's going to do right now is definite, but it's still a doubt that we don't know if he's going to be mevatel da'aseh later on, it's considered hasra that he should get lashes when he ultimately is mevatel da'aseh later on. Whereas Amar, Rish Lakish, Sabah, he holds hasra safik, leishem hasra. No, a doubtful warning is not considered a warning in halacha. So therefore, if the conclusion of the lav would be contingent on being mevatel da'aseh, according to Rish Lakish, you wouldn't be able to get lashes in any case of lav and nitig la'aseh. Rather, obviously, according to Rish Lakish, the lav is the moment he divorces her. Then it's concluded. And therefore, it's hasra zvade. It's a definite hasra, because we know he's supposed to give hasra the second before he's about to do it, and you see he's going to do it. Now, the positive commandment, according to Rish Lakish, was given to take the place of the lashes that he already has the obligation for. When it comes to court, they say, look, fulfill your positive commandment or get the lashes right now. So therefore, that's what their machlekes is contingent on. Now, Rashi asks, if you're going to say, wait a second, according to Rabbi Yechanan, who said that he has to hold hasra, safik shema hasra? I could tell you that Rabbi Yechanan holds you also have to have a definite hasra. Why? Because they'll warn them when he's coming to mevatel da'aseh. When he's coming after he had divorced this woman that he is ma'anis, a few months later, he's about to take a neder. I'm going to make a neder, I'm not going to have any hanoah from her. And which that would be mevatel da'aseh, which is the uprooting of the lav. That's when the obligation is, that's when they'll warn him. So maybe that will be asra zvadai, and that's where he gets lashes. That says Rashi, no, because the asra always has to be at the time when the person violates the primary prohibition that he's violating. Even if that's contingent on something else, as the Gemara says in Shavuos Chaf Chesma Beis, let's say someone takes an oath, I'm not going to eat this loaf if I eat this loaf. Now, if he first eats the loaf that he made conditional, and then he eats the loaf which was the prohibition, so when he's about to eat the second one, which was the primary one that he had made the oath regarding, that, when he's being warned, it's a definite warning. But the Gemara says, let's say he first eats the one that he had made prohibited to himself. And then later he eats the one that he had made as conditional, that if he eats that one, then he's not allowed to eat that one. So that, says the Gemara, is hasra safik. Why? Obviously, says Rashi, you see, because the hasra has to be at the time when the primary prohibition is being done. Even though the violation of the negative prohibition is only concluded until you eat the stipulation one, but that's not, you can't warn him on that, because that's not the prohibition. The prohibition is the early one, and that was doubt, because we don't know he's going to eat the later one. So therefore, says Rashi, you see from that Gemara, that that's considered asra safik, and if you can't warn him when he's doing the asay, obviously Rabbi Yechanan, who holds that there's going to be lashes, is because he holds asra safik, ishma hasra. Now says the Gemara, and they go according to the reasoning, the same machlekes we have, they say somewhere else. Didma, like we learned, shvua sh'eichel kikar zahayam. If someone takes an oath, I swear I'm going to eat this loaf of bread today. And the day passes, and guess what? He did not eat that loaf of bread. Now, there's two things that are regarding that case that's unique. One is that he's violating his oath by just sitting and not doing anything. He's not doing any action that violates that negative prohibition. Moreover, even if witnesses want to warn him so they can get lashes for violating his oath, it's hasra safik. Because anytime you're going to warn him, oh, you swore that you're going to eat it. Okay, I still have time. I could eat it all day. You don't know that I'm not going to eat it now. How can you warn me on my Yisrael now that I'm not going to eat it? I might eat it next second or next second. So, says the Gemara, regarding this halacha, they both say that the person's not going to get lashes. However, each one's reasoning is different according to the lines that we just said before. Rabbi Yechanan, like he says, that the person doesn't get lashes as a katin type of tezai in the middle, mishum to have a lav shame b'maisa, because it's a negative prohibition that there's no action done with it. For chalav shem b'maisa, anytime a person violates a prohibition passively, in loikin love, it doesn't get lashes. But in regards to the context that it's hasra safik, that wouldn't exempt him, because as we said before, b'yichin holds hasra safik, ishma hasra. Rish Lakish, like he says, the person doesn't get lashes, mishum to have hasra safik. Because how could you warn them? You don't know. It's doubt if this warning is going to be or it's not going to be. And then anytime you give a doubtful hasra, that's not considered hasra. But regards the fact that it's a passive violation, regarding that, Rish Lakish would not exempt because he holds a lav she'im b'maisa loikin lav that you do get lashes even from passively violating a negative prohibition. So you see that their same achleikis is the same achleikis over here of hasra safik shema hasra is the same thing in the case of shvur sheikh l'kikar zahayim, and thus regarding explaining this halacha of bitloy of the lav hanitig lasei, if it's bitloy v'le bitloy or kima v'le kima, which again we said Rabbi Yochanan is the one who says bitloy v'le bitloy, and therefore we're able to explain that Bryce's halacha of amad v'chazar kai, because it's only according to Rabbi Yochanan who we're coming to explain his halacha that it doesn't contradict, which we started off the daf with, that kaloisa sechakod me'asei is like in the lav. I, the case of Ma'anis, is a case of Loisa Shekim La'asei, and therefore it should not be Nitig La'asei, and why is it Chayzav Eina Leike? And that we said, the reason why it's Chayzav Eina Leike is because it is a Lava Nitig La'asei. Why? Because it says Kol Yamav to tell you that even for 10 years, the Asei is still there. That's only according to B'yechanan, who holds Bidabli Bidla Kondrash Lakish, that's Kimer B'le Kimoy, when you have the lashes right now. You do the Asei, we'll take it away, but it has to be right now. You can't be 10 years telling us, oh, I didn't fulfill it yet, but I'm going to fulfill it. And therefore, that's according to their lines of if Hasra Savik, Shema Hasra, or Loi.